This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Duncan, it's the Official Coffee of the Fan Morning Show. A very good morning to everyone out there. We got to the fan hotline presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus. We're joined by him right now. Hello, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, doing well. How about yourself?
We are absolutely, positively great, doing well. Although the Steelers look to be in a state of purgatory or limbo, however you want to kind of put it, with a GM. And we have Doug Whaley on our show for an hour. He comes in the studio every hour, every Wednesday for an hour, and he's still one of these candidates that's there. But I ask you, what are the positives and negatives of a long, protracted general manager search? Because it feels like we're still in it for the long haul.
Yeah, that is. It is really interesting. You would imagine if they knew Colbert was going to leave after the draft when his contract expired, that maybe they would have a short list and would get things done pretty quickly. And, you know, I would say maybe it suggests they are taking this search very seriously. There was no candidate with a, you know, leader in the clubhouse coming into it that had a leg up on the competition, which is probably a good thing. But, you know, I guess as long as there is a solid infrastructure and a lot of people in the building that know what their tasks are, know what they need to get done, now they're through the draft and through priority free agency, maybe it's not so big a deal, and they can just kind of make things work as they go along.
Brad, I've had a couple people ask me this question over the last few days as the Penguin season has ended and we've started to look ahead to Steelers OTAs and things like that. And looking back on the offseason as a whole, whether it was free agency, whether it was the draft, did they do enough to shore up their run defense, or is a big part of that jury still out, not knowing if Stephon Tuitt's going to be back or not?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to Tuitt. I think we've talked about him a lot on this show. But, you know, I think it should be a better unit. I think they've obviously, you know, addressed linebacker again and are trying to shore up some of those holes. Need help from a lot of guys they already have in the building. And maybe sometimes when you don't see moves, maybe it suggests that they have a better understanding of guys that are coming back and how they're going to look. So, yeah, I mean, it does, I think, really ultimately come down to what Tuitt looks like next season.
Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. You know, AB wants to retire as a Steeler. There's no way they're going to invite him back in for one of those ceremonial one-day things because he's just wacky and he's a space cadet at this point. But that being said, how much football do you think he really had left, and how much could he have ranked among the true greats if his trajectory stayed?
Yeah, I respect the effort. I didn't expect it to happen either in Pittsburgh. And it is unfortunate because he really was on a path to being one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, both just in terms of his peak and how well he played, but also truly in some of those volume statistics. I mean, he was putting up, you know, 200 target seasons and 130, 140 receptions and doing things. It was really just him and Julio Jones for a couple of years. They're kind of off in their own stratosphere. And it's tough because you still see him playing now. Yeah, he's not as good as he was when he was 27 years old, but let's say he played full seasons the last 3-4 years at the level he was at. I mean, I think he's still an 1,000-yard receiver in all of those years. He really could have been putting up some crazy numbers, even just some crazy player after 30 years of age numbers. I mean, he still got it.
Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. He joins us every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. So Jair Alexander gets this huge contract extension out in Green Bay, a clear-cut CB1, for lack of a better way to put it. We've touched on this a couple times in the offseason, Brad, but do the Steelers have enough at corner? Because it looks to a lot of us like they have a couple of number twos and maybe a number three, but still no clear-cut one? Or did Levi Wallace prove to you last year in Buffalo when Norwood went out that he can take over that position?
Yeah, so I'm actually a big fan of Levi Wallace. And like you said, when Tre'Davious White and some of those guys in Buffalo got hurt, he really was kind of their de facto number one corner. Obviously, the contract he got doesn't really look like it, and Buffalo not matching that deal and going ahead and drafting Kaiir Elam out of Florida in the first round instead. You know, maybe they weren't the biggest of fans, but the way Pittsburgh plays is kind of zone defense, and they don't really spend a lot of corner. They have, you know, the safety tandem in the back end that they trust, and they obviously have this front seven that they've invested a ton in, you know, primarily on the defensive line, and that's just kind of how they go about it. I think there's enough there with the guys they have to, you know, to shore up for now.
You tell me why Drew Brees is going to play and why he's not going to play again.
He's going to play because he can't go out losing to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. You know, he just can't go out that way. That's why he is going to play. He's not going to play because I think all three of us can throw a football farther than Drew Brees as of today.
All right, well, you're in New Orleans, right, if I'm not mistaken?
I was. Not at the moment, but yeah.
What do you think that he would be welcome back, despite dwindling skill set? Do you think that he'd be welcome back, like, sight unseen right now, let's go, show up at camp?
110%. I always used to, when I lived there, if he wanted to run for mayor in New Orleans, he would win in a landslide.
Interesting.
So what about the other quarterback then who's now made the decision to look towards broadcasting? We were talking about Tom Brady earlier and like the fun little video he did of riding the bike through the city streets. But when he finally does hang it up and go to the broadcast booth, Brad, what are your expectations for him? Do you think we get like a good year and a half of work like we got from Romo and then he gets bored with it? Or does he actually fulfill all 10 years of that ridiculous contract?
We'll see if he fulfills the full 10-year, you know, 300 or whatever the number. It keeps varying. But, you know, look, I think he's going to be pretty good. I think he will be better than Brees. But I do think we need to stop getting ahead of ourselves and just assuming, as if you're a good player and you're, you know, you know football and are well-spoken about football, that you're automatically going to be a good broadcaster. I mean, Jason Witten was hard to watch every week. There's no guarantees in this game. So we'll see. I could definitely see him getting bored and deciding he wants to go do some other, you know, weird random venture that he finds out. But, you know, I do think he loves football so much and wants to be around the game in some capacity.
Yeah, that wasn't the question, though. Do you think he'll be good? Or actually, I'm going to manipulate the question some. In your opinion, Brad Spielberger, who consumes more football than anybody on this planet, do you think Brady will be good?
I do, actually. I do. I think he's interesting. I think he's kind of funny. I don't know who's writing his tweets, if it's him or he's got some ghostwriters. But I think he's a funny guy. I think he'll do well.
All right, back to active quarterbacks. Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, with us on the Fan Morning Show. NFL supposed to meet with Deshaun Watson down in Texas later this week, according to Ian Rapoport of NFL Network. If you had to place a bet on whether Deshaun Watson actually serves a suspension this season or not, what would your bet be?
I'm starting to lean towards it might actually all get pushed to 2023. And when his deal got done, you know, his camp made sure that he has protections for both this year and next year because they knew there was a possibility that it all actually got pushed out into 2023. So based on the dates of everything and all the, you know, depositions are getting pushed back and interviews getting pushed back, I would not be surprised if actually nothing happens in 2022 and then it gets addressed in 2023.
Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. All right, you have a law degree. You've worked in front offices before. You understand how front offices work. They have many different tentacles, many different departments. How do you think Cleveland, and I think this is a very real conversation and a real question here, Brad, how do you think they're going to insulate themselves from what they know is going to be game day chaos? I mean, there's going to be protests. There are going to be people that are outside that stadium. There are going to be people that maybe go inside the stadium and try to have some sort of protest inside the stadium. What are the proactive measures, and then how do they react when it inevitably happens?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, you know, in Minnesota for the NBA playoffs, that lady that was trying to glue her hand to the court, you know, you got to be prepared. You got to be ready for some chaos. You know, I think his landing spot in all this is interesting as well. You know, end of the day, I kind of find it fascinating that he goes to this hapless franchise that And look, I know that there's things that are bigger than football here, but I do think so. A lot of fans, and maybe if they were Steelers fans or fans of the club that, you know, weren't so desperate to win, maybe they would have more of a fuss. But I could see a lot of Cleveland Browns fans say, look, I'm not happy about it. You know, my family's not happy about it. But we're actually going to win some games for the first time in my lifetime. So I think that's part of it. But B, they got to be ready. They definitely have to be ready. I think security has to be on a high alert for any potential calamity that goes on in Cleveland. But I don't know. You know, I think at the end of the day, the NFL does a good job of just kind of letting these things fizzle out and kind of creating different narratives and different storylines that kind of just distracts from, you know, whatever they want to distract from.
I really thought after the draft, we worked through it and, you know, rookies being signed, undrafted free agents, things like that, Brad, we'd get to a point where Baker Mayfield would settle down somewhere. It still hasn't happened. I still have a hard time believing Seattle and maybe even Carolina go into the seasons with their quarterback situations as they are. Is Baker Mayfield going to settle in one of those spots, or is he going to end up somewhere that none of us expects, maybe working even as a number two? Would he do that?
Yeah, so this is something that I'm not sure if we've talked about on this show before, but something that I actually was confused about previously and have now gotten clarification from a league source. So something that might be complicating matters here is that there actually are not offsets in his contract. So that means he's going to get his almost $19 million from the Cleveland Browns. And previously I thought whatever he got elsewhere would just be offset against that money. Ergo, he would take a minimum salary because the Browns would still have to pay him a ton of money and no one was going to pay him more than that. In reality, he can double dip is what they call it. So whatever he makes elsewhere, he actually can add on top of his Browns money. And so maybe he really is also trying to look for a place that is willing to pay him a decent chunk of money. Again, he's not going to get some massive deal or anything like that, but maybe he doesn't want to take a minimum salary and is looking for a team to step up and pay him, you know, I don't know, let's say $10 million on a one-year flyer or something like that. So I'm wondering if that is now also part of the delay. I'm with you. I thought this would be resolved by now. I still think, you know, Carolina and Seattle are the only two that make sense, but I can see what you're saying where, you know, maybe you go to, like, I don't know, a Houston and start as a backup, or you go somewhere close to home or you're more comfortable with on a personal level and you're willing to kind of, you know, fight for a job or whatever the case may be. But at this point, I think, you know, I don't think anyone knows what's going on there.
Can he wait long enough until someone inevitably gets hurt during camp or in a preseason game, or does he have to be somewhere before then?
I would imagine that's his plan now. And that's probably the smart way at this point is just say, you know, someone gets hurt or someone, you know, is not impressing, doesn't look good, and then you kind of you file in. I would say it shrinks the pool to it would have to be clubs that he's familiar with the language, maybe from a similar coaching system. You know, Kevin Stefanski, Minnesota, the outside zone, and all those things. So that would be my guess. It would shrink the pool of teams that he could go to. But I think it's probably what he's hoping for, and that's not the root for anyone else's downfall. But I guess it's what he's hoping for now.
We haven't talked to you since the schedule release. What are Brad Spielberger's hot NFL schedule takes?
Oh, wow. You might be surprised. I have zero takes on the schedule. I just show up and watch the games when they happen. I thought the NFL, look, I respect the NFL's ability to turn anything into a week-long event. I mean, they really could, but that one, to me, I was like, can we please just get the freaking schedule?
Well, do you know what the evergreen schedule take is that everybody in America has is, why do I have to watch the Lions on Thanksgiving? That's the evergreen schedule take.
I love that the Lions complained about their lack of primetime games, and the NFL said, look, you get one every single year when everyone's, you know, waking up, you know, hungover on Thanksgiving. So you got your one primetime game of the year. Yeah, I'll say I'm also happy my Bears aren't going overseas. They probably deserve to. I think it's going to be a good year. I'm excited for all the big primetime games. I'm excited for Thursday now with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. I think it's going to be a great 2022 NFL season.
Hey, Maulers got their first win this weekend,
Pittsburgh,
Brad.
Maulers,
I know you're
out.
Watching the USFL.
Yes. Well, you know, Kyle Flutter in New Orleans has been lighting it up. He's been a story of the league so far. A preseason legend in the NFL, so he's carried that over to the New Orleans Breakers. But, yes, congrats to the Maulers. My gamblers are struggling, though.
Do you know, at one point in time, and I can't make this up, Mike Tomlin once said that Landry Jones took the most preseason snaps in NFL history. He had no data to back that up. He just said it in a press conference once.
in his eyes, it's probably more than he'd ever seen a guy play. Is Tomlin a big preseason guy, or no? Did he play his guy?
No. He played. Apparently, he played Landry Jones more than anybody in preseason history. But then he got his kicker almost killed at the Hall of Fame game, and that set the Steelers back when Sean Sweezum ripped his knee up. You remember that?
I do remember that. Yeah, no, that, you know, having preseason records is you know, never not the records you're shooting for, really.
No, it sucks. But anyway, all right, Brad, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.